You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You shall have no other gods before me. There are other commandments in the world, but this is the beginning of the Big Ten.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, by your law, the world is judged. Lead us by that law to the good news of Jesus, that we may recognize you as our Savior, in your Son, the Savior of the world. Take us by faith and love toward you in the paths of justice and righteousness. You, O God, are stern and kind. You punish and you save. You keep an eye on us and an eye out for us. We remember you this day, and your commandment, have no other gods before me. We offer you our love, as you have shown your love toward us, in the Son you have given for us, that he might bring us to you. In his saving name we pray. Amen. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the beginning of the Big Ten. There are other commandments in this world, but these are the Big Ten. They come from God himself. Without them, life would not be human. Can you imagine a world of killing, lying, stealing, where absolute disregard for family life would be the order of the day? Without the Ten Commandments, it would not be life. And you would have to contend with that every day. It's not hard to imagine such a world, because that is what the world becomes when the Ten Commandments are treated as if they no longer exist or as if they have no longer any effect. It becomes a madhouse, a jungle, a place where living becomes a form of dying. Under those circumstances, life has no form, no meaning, no destiny, except one. Destruction of everything that God wants people to have and to enjoy in the world. For the benefit of humanity, God gave the Ten Commandments. They keep people from destroying themselves. But they also provide a guide which people can follow to determine the course God wants us all to go on the road to salvation that he himself provides. Ignoring or disregarding the Ten Commandments is not freedom, it's slavery. Remembering the Ten Commandments and following their leading is not slavery. It is the road to freedom through faith and confidence in God. He has our best interest in mind. He's out to save rather than to destroy. You shall have no other gods before me. A friend told me about having relatives come to visit for a few days, including a young mother with her 16-month-old boy. The boy was always trying to get up on the rocking chair. The mother told him over and over not to do that. A few swats on his bottom made him obey for a while. When his mother turned her back, however, he tried again to get up on that rocker. Finally, he succeeded and fell off on his head. Fortunately, he was not hurt too badly. He didn't get it out of his system even then. She denied him cookies so that he would eat his cereal. He was not allowed to push his little truck on the coffee table or to dismantle the bowl of flowers. She wouldn't let him run into the street where the big boys were playing ball. He had to take a nap when he would have enjoyed entertaining the family. Did all of these do's and don'ts indicate the mother was the boy's enemy? He may have thought so at times, but those who know her are sure that she loves him. She would not do anything to harm him. What's more, she was trying to protect the property and rights of others. Older people may see themselves in that little boy. They think of the rules of God as taking the fun out of life, hemming them in, restricting their freedom. They get hurt when they break the rules, but that doesn't deter them. They try again, evidently feeling that one of these days they're going to beat the rap. When God is not looking, they will have their fun. Like fun, they will. Anyone who has ever tried it can tell you that's a losing game. God does not turn his back. God does not wink at wickedness. God's not a permissive grandfather. He's a father, interested in having his sons and daughters not only become but act like members of his family. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The commandments have been given by God, who loves and cares. Out of his love and care, he appeals to people to keep these commandments. This is not the demand of a tyrant, but the command of a father who loves and cares. The God who brought Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, is the same God who sent his Son into the world in fulfillment of his promise to Israel. That promise comes true through Israel, but it is for the whole world. The commandments are good for all people of all time. They were good at Sinai, and they're good today. They work on the same basis today as they did on the day when they were given to Moses. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord your God, who sent his only Son to die for the sins of the world. I am the Lord your God, who brought that Son from the dead, because he was obedient for you unto death, even the death of a common criminal. I am the Lord your God, who gave that Son a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I am the Lord your God, who gave you these commandments for good and not for ill. You shall have no other gods before me. That first covenant was built on the goodness of God. It was accepted by people who recognized that he had indeed brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The second covenant in Jesus Christ was based in the same way on the goodness of God. It all begins with his gift, that great gift which St. Paul described as indescribable, the gift of his atonement for the sins of the world, the gift of forgiveness and life given personally to all those who accept that covenant with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. As God brought Israel out of Egypt, so God brings people out of the slavery of sin, addicted to their own desires, chained by their own pride, enslaved to their own passions, to a new life of faith in God for those who accept his forgiveness and willingly endeavor to do his will. There's good reason to fear the judgment of God. If you insist on going your own way, you get what you deserve. There's also good reason to love God, who loves to help and bless his people. You can see that love of God in the face of his Son, Jesus Christ. Here you see God and the lengths to which he was willing to go to be a father to his people and to be acknowledged as a father by his people. You will have no other gods before me. There are no other gods. The others, whoever and wherever they may be, are not God. He has proved himself to be God. Others are just idols put up by people not to serve God but to serve themselves. Things, success, work, play, happiness, fame, or all the other idols people make for themselves can shape lives, standards, and morals. These idols are responsible for the mess in which the world finds itself. Peace, real power, and genuine joy that lasts forever come straight from the heart of God. They also shape lives, standards, and morals. By the grace of God, out of the goodness of his heart, they also bring peace, real power, and genuine joy that lasts forever. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you really know and love God, you respect his name. You don't use the name of God just to give vent to your irritation or anger. You simply don't treat him that way. You're also not afraid to use the name of God in order to praise him for his goodness and greatness. You call upon him in the time of trouble, and you give thanks to him in the time of prosperity. You believe in the name of his Son, Jesus, and what his forgiveness means to you. You're willing to tell others about Jesus. You can keep to yourself what does not matter, but you can't keep to yourself what really does matter. The name of God matters in this world. It matters today and tomorrow, both for you and for everyone else. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A survey of American people disclosed recently that 93% of them thought that the Ten Commandments applied to them. About the same percentage thought that one should not kill and that one should also not steal. A smaller percentage thought that one should not defame his neighbor or covet his wife. A pretty good percentage thought that one should honor his parents. Only 57% felt that this commandment had anything to do with them. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The Sabbath day was meant to be a day of rest. Instead of being a day of rest to remember God, however, it's become for very many people a day of rest that means video games, music, sports, reading the Sunday newspaper in bed, or sleeping all morning to recover from the late-night Saturday party. At best, it's time for homework and housework, yard work, and even shopping. The Sabbath day was intended for humanity, that life might not overcome us with forgetfulness of God. People who remember the Sabbath with remembrance of God can tell you that they receive not only refreshment, but new direction, new faith, and new resolve, new understanding, and new commitment. Not just by going to church of a Sunday morning, but in that going, hearing, praying, and receiving. They worship the great name and are reassured of the gracious care God has for them. In the worship of the living God, the earth becomes fresh again and life becomes new again, with strength to live life as it was meant to be lived. Honor your father and your mother. This commandment is for children, both young and old. Sometimes I get the feeling that the older children grow, the more disrespect they show for their parents. Human pride is bad enough in the young, but it is worse in the old. It's sad to see the trouble young people get into these days and the misery they inflict upon themselves and others because their parents fail to recognize their position in God's order of things. Parents could spare themselves and the whole world a lot of trouble if they would control the environment of their home, teach their children right from the beginning, and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What right has a parent to tell a child what to do? Anyway, the answer to that is every right from God himself. Parents are not possessors, but they are more than providers. Parents have a God-given responsibility which does not allow them to delegate to others their supervision over their children, not even to television programmers. The commandment to honor parents is so important that it carries with it a promise to children, which I have seen fulfilled many times, to live a long and satisfying life on the earth. You shall not kill. Life is precious. The life of a human being made in the image of God, not to be taken by anyone else, has become something of little importance today. The world simply can't afford the casual and easy way in which life is taken today. An assassin shoots someone and immediately plans to write a book about his motives and methods. He's aided and abetted by those who publish and buy big sums of this garbage. Murder, for whatever reason, is a shocking defiance of the living God. St. John once said, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. He's the fat cat of whatever persuasion, with no interest in feeding the hungry or clothing the naked, along with the competitive or drunken driver who regards the crippling of someone else as just another unfortunate accident. Accidents do happen, of course, but every human contribution to those so-called accidents causing harm, injury, and even death are a direct defiance of the living God. This commandment is against hurting and for helping, for befriending people in all their bodily needs. You shall not commit adultery. The relation of husband and wife is a God-ordained arrangement to bring a beautiful, rewarding, and satisfying experience when a man and a woman commit themselves to each other throughout their lives. Sex is a gift from God to be enjoyed, not only to bring a new generation into the world, but to provide mutual and physical pleasure, which can only be described as the most intimate communion people will ever know in their lifetime. Of course, marriage is not often looked upon that way by people in these days, in spite of what people may say or do. Marriage is not just a convenient arrangement to be undertaken lightly and to be broken just as lightly. It's not an encouragement of the sex saturation that makes of sex a cheap and tawdry thing. People who violate this commandment with a sense of guilt often have emotional problems that go with them to their grave. As Martin Luther said, we should fear and love God, that we may live a chaste and decent life, and each love and honor his spouse. This is God's commandment. It's God's way of benefiting humanity. You shall not steal. Wherever things become the sole measure of success, the accumulation of things becomes the standard by which life is judged. No wonder there's cheating, robbery, burglary, embezzlement, and shoplifting, to name only a few. No wonder that products are sold through false advertising, that people do not perform an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. No wonder that the rich steal from the poor, and the poor steal from the rich. God himself calls people to a right understanding of things. Jesus himself said, a person's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Things are things meant to be shared. All of what you have, large or small, is a great thing, both satisfying to you and beneficial to others. When those things are shared, they become a true expression of what life is all about. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Lies are a lethal weapon. They kill and destroy. God himself forbids slander. You shall not go up and down in the land as a slanderer. You should not use careless, prejudiced, or slanderous words to hurt other people. Martin Luther said the commandment has a positive point. We should fear and love God that we may not slander or defame our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that is your neighbor's. Laws make it illegal to kill and steal, but human laws don't condemn coveting. Who could ever enforce such a law? Coveting, therefore, seems harmless. God himself says that anyone who is covetous is also an idolater. He breaks the first commandment right off the bat. You will have no other gods before me. Covetousness is one of the deadliest of sins because it seems so harmless. The commandments end where they started, putting God in first place in our lives. The commandments can be summarized as they were by the Lord Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The commandments are negative and they are positive. They condemn and they point the way. They show how destructive human life can be when it is lived apart from God, and how important and fruitful life can be with daily remembrance of God, understanding and following his gracious will. God is a long-suffering and patient God. He created humanity, and he knows the way that all of us must go to genuine happiness. It's the way he himself has provided, the cross where his son suffered for the sins of the world. for all of that defiance of God which those sins represent, there is forgiveness with God. There's also a genuine direction from God where the forgiven life must lead. As St. Peter once said, Jesus died once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Therefore, let us make a clean break with sin and live to righteousness. The commandments are based on a covenant with God, beginning in his love, going forward in his love, nurtured and captivated by his love, to live life as it was meant to be lived. The commandments begin with genuine reverence for God, a healthy love for God. We should fear and love and trust in God above all things. We should fear and love God that we may not dishonor his name. We should fear and love God that we may respect the proclamation of his word by simply remembering to worship him and to do his will. The rest of the commandments have to do with our daily lives and our relationships with one another. They keep us from destroying the family, from destroying ourselves, and from destroying the conditions of life which are indispensable to peace and order in any human society. God loves you, my friend. Don't abuse that love. Remember that the will of God is that you might be saved from all these destructive ways that wreck human lives. Trust God, love God, and receive with gratitude the forgiveness of God for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive others and live with others as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you and as God in Christ lives in you. Look forward with reverence and obedience to the loving God, to the leading of his law, and to the promise of his gracious salvation through the good news of his Son, with the guaranteed return of his Son, both the judge and the Savior of the world. God himself has put it as briefly as it can be put. I am the Lord, your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Amen.